Right. What's up, Celebration Church? How are you guys doing today? Yeah. Wonderful. Hey, right now, could you go ahead? We are live to our campuses right now. Could you go ahead and welcome in not only all of our campuses, but the internet audience and our extension services around the world as well right now. Awesome. Great, man. Good to be with you guys. We ask that all of our campuses and services be praying for our team in Athens, Greece this week. And we're excited about a future Celebration Church over in Athens. And we plan on picking up where the Apostle Paul left off. We just want to continue his ministry over there. And you can read a lot about that in the book of Acts. And in fact, today we're continuing in our Kingdom of God series. And I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them to the book of Acts. And we're going to look at a portion of the life of the Apostle Paul here as he is on his third missionary journey. This is Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, where Paul is on his third missionary journey to Ephesus. Everybody say Ephesus. So I want to give you a little Ephesus. I want to give you a little background today. And how many of you know it's good to know your Bible? And we talk about here at Celebration Church that you need to be Bible-ational. You need to have a relationship with your Bible. And whether that's in you know, the hardback form, or it's on your iPod, or it's on your phone, or wherever it is, you need to know how to get to the books of the Bible and get to them quickly, because God has a lot of things to say to you about your life. And the primarily the way that he speaks to us is through his word. So we're talking about the kingdom of God here, and we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. Man, he is all about advancing the kingdom of God. In the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the kingdom of God, that it means the rule and reign of Jesus. So wherever the kingdom of God is, that's where the rule and reign of Jesus is taking place. And in God's church, Jesus is building his church. And I want to let you know that the kingdom of God is here today. It's within us that have received Jesus Christ, and it's working. Today, those of you that have received Jesus, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, trying to stir you up, getting you to pay attention to the word. He wants to do something in your life. He wants to bring you to the next level in your relationship with God. And then corporately, the kingdom of God is present here because the rule and reign of Jesus is operating here. We're lifting up Jesus today. And wherever Jesus is lifted up, wherever the rule and reign of God is operating, good things happen. And when you understand the kingdom of God and how God wants us to be productive citizens of his kingdom and all the blessings and benefits of his kingdom, it's just going to produce a real passion and a real excitement in you, man, to really press into the kingdom of God and partner with Jesus and help him advance his kingdom. And so obviously here, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19, man, he is passionate about the kingdom of God. This is his third missionary journey. He's in the city of Ephesus. This is where modern day Turkey is right now. And it says it. I'm going to get to verse 8 in just a second. And if you have your notes, there's some sermon notes in your bulletin there. You can take those out. I think we have those notes online as well for those of you who are watching live online right now. But in verse 19:1, it says, "It happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus." And so here he is in modern day Turkey. It's his third missionary journey, and talks about how he found some disciples of John there, and basically he leads them to the Lord, and he prays, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Very, very important that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. I'm not just talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Those are part of having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But all of us need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can be the witnesses for Christ that God wants us to be. Can I have a good amen? And you should not be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. And he gives gifts of the Spirit. One of those gifts is what the Bible calls a prayer language, or speaking in tongues. It's a very important gift, because prayer is important. And we need to pray. And sometimes our minds don't understand what exactly we need to pray for. And so we need that prayer language where the Spirit is praying through us. And so I encourage you to seek God for that gift. I want you to know that your pastor prays in tongues. Is that okay? Now watch. Many of you, you liked me before I said that. So there's no reason you should not like me after I said that. Okay? So I just want to, you know, nothing changed. I'm still the same Stovall. I'm just, so what's going on here with Paul? So this is happening. You can read through verse 8 the Bible talks about how they got filled with the Holy Spirit and they prayed in tongues and some cool stuff like that. But I want to focus in verse 8 here. The Apostle Paul says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. So there we find that language there, the kingdom of God. What is the Apostle Paul preaching? He's preaching the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. He's teaching the rule and reign of Jesus. He's teaching the things of the kingdom. He is consumed with the kingdom of God. He's passionate about what our Father is passionate about, advancing his kingdom. And then it goes on to say in verse 9, it says, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude. Now, just another side note here for you to know about. Right now, Christians were not called Christians. They were called that somewhat, Christians, but the most common term was this term that you find right here. They called them the way. And the reasons that Christians called themselves the way and people referred to them as the way is because what Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So later on, Christians became the more popular term, but that's why initially they were called the way. And it goes on to say that they spoke evil of the way before the multitude, but he departed from them and withdrew the disciples. This is the Apostle Paul, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now, Tyrannus was a philosopher. His school was in Ephesus here in this area of Greek. And so he obviously had this building, this facility, and he allowed Paul, I don't know if Paul rented it or he just allowed Paul to use it, but you know, it's kind of like a lot of our campuses, especially many of our new campuses. You know, man, we just want to advance the kingdom of God, so we find a school, a theater, come on, St. Aug, and well, Camden, you're in a new place now, but Hardy, well, you're in a new place now too. We don't have that many. St. John's is about to get a new place, so that's good. But he basically just finds a facility that he can use, and he begins to have church there and disciples, these believers in this philosophy school. And he goes on to say, he says, in verse 10, it says, and this continued for 2 years. Everybody say 2 years. 2 years. So that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And in verse 11 it says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Verse 12, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them. And the evil spirits went out of them. Is that amazing? Don't you wish you could just throw a towel at somebody and say demons out and it would all just go away? They'd straighten up or whatever. Now, let me give you a little bit. First off, you read this and you're kind of like, wow, that's awesome. The Apostle Paul had this handkerchief, obviously, or these handkerchiefs, these magical handkerchiefs. There was nothing magical about his handkerchiefs. He had these, you know, incredible aprons or these magical, there's nothing magical about his aprons. Let me tell you what's going on here. At this time in Ephesus, you might be familiar with this, it also talks about this in other passages of the Bible when the Apostle Paul's talking about his ministry. But right here in Ephesus, this is the time period where the Apostle Paul was actually a tent maker for 2 years. In other words, he was not just a full-time minister, but he was actually, if you want to say it, he was a businessman who also was a minister. He had to make a living, and for 2 years here in Ephesus, he made a living as a tent maker. But how the culture was set up in Ephesus, it's much like a lot of the European cultures today that have the siesta time. How many of you are familiar with the siesta time? How many of you have adopted that European culture to your own life? You find it hard to keep a job down because the siesta, it's just part of who you are. It's part of your culture. You have adopted that. But like a lot of the cultures that have a siesta, what would happen in Ephesus is people would open up shop, open up businesses and stuff like that at about 7 a.m. and they would stay open till about 11 a.m. And then obviously they didn't have air conditioning in this time frame. And so about 11, it started getting really, really hot. And that would be the brunt of the heat of the day from about 11 to 3 or 4. So everybody would close down the businesses from 11 to about 4 o'clock during the heat of the day, and they would just go home and, you know, take a break, take it easy, rest or whatever. And then they would come back and they would open up shop at about 4 in the afternoon, and they would stay open until 9 o'clock. So they kind of geared their business and marketplace times around when the day was cooler, from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., and then from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. But what the Apostle Paul did during this time, imagine this. He gets up, he goes and makes tents from 7 to 11 in the morning. I mean, this is a major job. I mean, tent making, you know, it's not like he's selling ice cream. I mean, he's making tents. He's in there. He is in there going at it. I mean, this is hard manual labor. He would make tents from 7 to 11. Then at 11 o'clock, he doesn't take a break. Guess what he does? He goes over to the school of Tyrannus. The philosophy school that he's renting or leasing or whatever, and he has church and all the disciples meet him over there, and he basically disciples them from 11 to 4 in the heat of the day, pours himself out, discipling believers, and then at 4 o'clock he leaves and he goes back to work and make tents until 9 o'clock. And if you look at, or back then, the tent makers, what they would wear is a tent maker would have on an apron. My pink shirt is going to have to do, but it was nothing like this pink shirt. But, you know, I have a t-shirt on underneath, and I have this shirt. And so there was an apron that the tent makers would wear, and it wasn't like a cooking apron, but it was much kind of like a blacksmith apron. It was made of leather, and it was just something that could absorb the dirt and the sweat from their work. And then the handkerchiefs that a tent maker would have, it's not like the little, you know, little hankies like that. You know what I'm saying? Like you see, I mean, no offense, you know, any TV preachers, you know, it's like, here's my handkerchief, and, you know, I'm going to send this to you, and, you know, whatever. No, no, no. It was nothing like that. Let me tell you, what these handkerchiefs were, they were sweatbands. And because there was so much sweat, they would have to take these handkerchiefs. And these handkerchiefs were more like sweatbands, and they would wrap them around their head, obviously, to keep the sweat from pouring on their face. So the Apostle Paul, he had a lot of these sweatbands. That's what the Bible's calling a handkerchief here. He had a lot of these sweatbands, and he had these aprons. Once again, they were absorbing all the sweat and dirt from his work. And for 2 years... Are y'all ready for me to take this off, or you're not going to hear anything else that I say from this point forward? For 2 years, what he did, he poured himself out. 7 to 11 making tents, then going straight from making those tents, his apron, his sweatband, straight from there to building disciples and preaching from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then back to making tents from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. He did this for 2 solid years. And there was such a move of God, the Bible says, that the word of the Lord spread throughout all Asia. And it talks about that the Apostle Paul, there were these incredible miracles that were done where people could actually touch his sweatbands, and touch his dirty, sweaty apron, and miracles would happen, supernatural things would happen. So if you understand what's really going on here, there's really no magic or mystery to it at all, is there? You see, the supernatural is in the sweat. It's not the handkerchief. It's not the apron. It wasn't the Apostle Paul going, you know, ooh, let me dip this in some anointing oil and let me pray over this. And here, take my hanky and wipe it on your bobo. Now, you know what these were full of? These were full of sweat. But it wasn't just natural sweat. It was kingdom sweat. He was pouring himself out for Jesus and the kingdom of God. And the sweat that was on his bands and his clothes, because that was kingdom sweat, there was something supernatural about it. You see, the supernatural is in the sweat. All kingdom sweat contains a supernatural component. So here's what I want to ask you today. Are you experiencing the supernatural? Because if you're not experiencing the supernatural, there's a good chance you're just not sweating enough. Because the supernatural is in the sweat. It's in the sweat. You know, the thing about sweat is, if it was cool this week, I studied sweat. It's an interesting subject to study, sweat. And when I was studying about sweat, I mean, it's just real simple. And you think about it in your everyday life. Really, sweat is caused by heat, or it's caused by physical exertion. And so because there's heat, you know, or you're out in the hot of the day, or the physical exertion, the Apostle Paul was doing both. You know, your body sweats, and that's how it cools itself. In other words, what's going on the inside, the energy and the heat, it's producing this sweat on the outside. And you know, Jesus talked about when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we get filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. And you know what I found? I found when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that heat of God starts heating up on the inside. And what's on the inside makes you produce something on the outside. I want to be real clear right here. I'm not talking about a works thing. I'm not talking about, you know, go out there and do more for God. And I don't want to get you to get the picture that I'm saying, you know, you're not doing enough and feel guilty and feel bad. What I'm saying is we need to get filled with the Holy Ghost, man. Let's get filled with the Spirit. And the heat of God on the inside is going to compel us to get, what does the Apostle Paul say? It's the love of Christ that compels me. You know why he was going out like this, like a psycho? Come on, man, 7 to 11 making tents, 11 to 4 preaching the gospel, and then 4 to 9 making tents again, because he was so full of the Holy Spirit. And what's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. What's the love, and what's next? Joy. In the joy of the Lord, your strength. I love, you know, I just got out of this heart surgery. And thank you, Jesus. Man, I'm getting healed up just great. You know, but I'll tell you one thing I miss is working out. I used to work out, man. That's what I mean. Before my heart surgery, kind of everything was up here, and now it's just sagged down to here. I even looked at my biceps in the mirror the other day. I actually have like loose skin where my biceps used to be. It's a man thing. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. I'll bring them back one day. Like a phoenix rising out of the ashes. What was I talking about? But you know when I love working out? You know, and guys, you can relate to this. Man, when I'm feeling energized and strong, I love getting in there and getting in a good workout. And you know, that's what the Holy Spirit, He energizes us with the love of Christ. And the joy of the Lord's our strength. He strengthens us through the joy of the Lord, where you just want to get out there and get in a good kingdom workout and produce some sweat for God. Come on, is somebody hearing what I'm saying today? Now, let me tell you something important about sweat. This is what I'm trying to say. Are we sweating for God's kingdom? First of all, nothing's happening. I don't experience the supernatural much. Are you sweating for God's kingdom? Because I promise you, there's supernatural in the sweat. Are we just comfortable sitting in our Father's house? Or are we passionate about our Father's business? Come on, man, is there some energy on the inside of you? Is there some love that's compelling you to look at others, to reach others? If there's not, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit today. That's what you need. The Bible says this, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a daily thing. This is what God has taught me. Every single day, you know what my prayer is? I always, every morning, including this morning, you know what I do? I surrender to God afresh. I always surrender afresh. I pray, God, let this day be marked by your glory. Lord, let this day not be about, let it be marked by your glory. Because guess what? That's going to be the happiest day I could possibly have. I will feel the best on the end. I will say this. We walk by faith, but feelings are important. I am a feelings-based Christian. I'm not led by my feelings, but feelings, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, isn't joy? Can't you sense that in your emotions? Can't you sense peace in your emotions? Doesn't the Bible say, taste and see that the Lord is good? Doesn't the Bible say, serve the Lord with gladness? Isn't gladness part of an emotional feeling? Okay, so there. Just if you have a problem with feelings, get your doctrine straight. I'll preach that all day long, man. God's a God of emotions. We're made in the image of God. All this stuff about, yes, it is. It's fact, faith, and then feelings. But there are certain feelings that are intertwined with faith. The kingdom of God, the rule and reign of Christ is what? Righteousness. There's the truth, right? Faith in Jesus. But then it says righteousness what? Peace and joy. You can experience peace and joy in your emotions. Okay, I'm almost out of time. I knew. I Twittered this. I didn't think I'd get through my introduction today. We're going to have to do a part two. Is that okay? I'm fired up, man. The supernatural is in the sweat. This is a great thing. And here's what else. You know what else I was reading about sweat? You know what sweat is vital for? Guess what? If you don't sweat, your body will become toxic. I'll say that again. Some of you will get it in a few more seconds. If you don't sweat, your body will become toxic. Because when you sweat, it pulls out the toxins and the impurities from your body. Sweating is one of the primary ways of detoxing your body. And as Christians, if it's all about us, if we're not out there sweating for God's kingdom, guess what? We're going to become toxic. We're going to come inward. We're going to get offended. We're going to get bitter. Whatever it is, whatever those things that you want to overcome, they will eventually overcome you, because the supernatural is in the sweat. And if we're not, when we sweat for God's kingdom, it's like detoxing us. Everybody say the supernatural is in the sweat. And this, I like the next thing. It talks about these unusual miracles when you are sweating for the kingdom of God, unusual miracles follow. How many of you need some unusual miracles? The normal kind won't do for you anymore. You know why? Because you don't have normal problems. You have unusual problems. Well, I got good news for you. When you're sweating for the kingdom, unusual miracles follow. And those unusual miracles, they're not just for you, but they're for other people. Do you think this? Think about the Apostle Paul's life. Do you think when he's pouring himself out for the kingdom like that, do you really think that God is not meeting every single one of his needs according to his riches and glory? Don't you see how this works with the kingdom? When you align yourself with God and you're about your Father's business, it's like, man, Father God is equipping you with everything that you need because you are a valuable asset to the kingdom. You are advancing the kingdom. You know what prayer was part of prayer is supposed to be? It's supposed to be like a wartime walkie-talkie. Where you're out there on the front lines, you're like, God, I need this. Lord, I got this financial issue. I need you to take care of it. It's supposed to be like that. You're seeking first the kingdom of God, and everything you need is added unto you. You're going out. You've got like, God, send this in. I need some reinforcements. Lord, I just need you to fix that deal because I'm focused on your kingdom, and I want my business. I want you first in my business, God. I want you first in my family, God. I want you first in my kids, God. Lord, I'm going to pray. I need you to multiply my time. I'm going to give more to imagine. I need you to multiply my finances. I need you to send in reinforcements. Just like when there's a soldier out on the front lines, he's fighting for the cause. And he's saying, man, I need some more air support. I need some more supplies. I need you to send this in. If that army, if that military force has the power to do it, they're going to send it in. Why? Because those soldiers are advancing the cause. It's the same thing with God. When we're advancing the cause. Now, what if a soldier was out on the front line fighting a war and he radioed back? He said, hey, this bunker's a little bit uncomfortable. Could you send in a couple of more? Can we get like some of those bean bags? You got any bean bags? And I'm not too cool on this type of food. You got any like? I don't like vanilla ice cream. You got any cookies and cream ice cream? Much of our praying. See, when you're not sweating for the kingdom, that's what you pray. What does the Bible say? You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. I'm telling you, if you tap into the kingdom, that is the only kingdom that's going to last. You know we're all going to get old and die. Or we're just going to die. One day your number's going to be up. And then you'll enter into the eternal kingdom of God. It's just we're on a temporary assignment down here. Well, hopefully if Jesus is your Lord, you'll enter into the eternal kingdom of God. If he's not your Lord, you'll be separated from God. You'll spend eternity in hell without God in torment. And that is not God's fault. That is your fault. You've not accepted Christ as your Savior. He proved that he loves you. Amen. And you're here today or you're watching by internet or whatever campus you're attending. God brought you here. You know, I pray for every single service. I was up this morning at the crack of dawn. You know what I was doing? I was praying. I was crying out for God. God, you bring here every single person that you want here. And they're going to hear the gospel. And then it's up to you at that point. Can I have a good amen to that? But the sweat itself, if you look around here, if you think about this. Every time you see a kingdom miracle, you know what? You can find some evidence of sweat. The people that are going to give their lives to Christ today, guess what? If I follow that trail, or all the people that gave their lives to Christ that last week, if I follow that trail, guess what? I can find some kingdom sweat. I can find some prayer sweat. Somebody was praying for him. I can find some serving sweat. All of you in here today and the worship team and the children's ministry and nursery and parking and guest services and everybody that makes these services happen, guess what? There's some kingdom sweat going on. So there's some supernatural things happening. When I look at miracles happening in people's lives and someone getting delivered off of drugs and some kind of miracle and somebody being healed, when you inspect it, guess what? You'll always find some sweat, some evidence. You know, I was thinking about my story of my heart. And, you know, I was in the middle of a 21-day fast. It was just a miracle. I went to this physical, and I'd had this thing for 40 years undetected. They're like, oh my God. The very fact that I went to the physical was a miracle. It was a miracle. I was in the middle of a 21-day fast. Come on, guys. You know what they do at a physical? Nobody wants to go on a full-blown physical in the middle of a 21-day fast. I just felt that I should go. I went to this real extensive physical, and then they find this thing. It's a miracle. And then they set me up with this doctor at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. I didn't even know that I found out is one of the best surgeons for the procedure that I needed in the entire world. In the world. They told me it should have taken you a year just to be able to get an appointment with this guy. He did the surgery in 2 weeks. From one phone call. Now watch this. When I saw my doctor here at the Mayo Clinic here just a couple of weeks ago, guess what the first thing that he asked me was? How in the world did you get Dr. Schaff in Minneapolis to do this surgery? That is a miracle. How in the world did you get him to do your surgery? You know what I said? God, I don't know. It's a miracle. It's a total miracle. But let me tell you what I was doing. Man, I was so focused on God's kingdom, and I was praying, and I was fasting, and man, I was praying for you guys, and we were having people saved. After I got the report that I needed heart surgery, I went back to my hotel room. I didn't even break my fast. I'm like, man, I'm keeping focused on the kingdom. I'm keeping God first. There was some sweat going on. So guess what? God takes care of all that stuff. Supernatural's in the sweat. Now you might say, well, Stovall, you're a preacher. God, you know, he needs to keep you alive a little longer. Don't ever think that. Listen, the Bible is real clear. We're all the body of Christ, and we all have a part to play. And the Bible even says the lesser parts are even more valuable. Do you know that if you don't fulfill God's plan for your life, nobody will? It will be a missing chapter in the book that God wanted to write about his kingdom. You are the only person that can fulfill the will of God on your life. God has called you to advance his kingdom corporately together as we do in a church, but also individually in your life. And if you don't do it, nobody will. I got through the introduction. Listen, so here's what I want to do right now. We're going to have to, man, we're going part two next weekend. Okay? I'm just getting into this. But I'm telling you, if you understand the kingdom and you understand that the supernatural is in the sweat, God wants to meet all of your needs. We just got to be passionate about our Father's business. Can I have a good amen to that? Come on, let's give God a big, big hand. Let's do this. Let's do this right now. Here's what we're going to do, okay? In fact, go to the back of your sermon notes. I have to do this. So here's what we're doing. Are you ready for this? Turn your sermon notes over. Guess what we're doing the next 21 days? The kingdom sweat. Everyone said fasting. No, we did fasting back in January. We are going on a kingdom sweat campaign. Are you ready? 21 days of pouring yourself out. Can you do it? Can you pour yourself out for Jesus over this Easter season for just 21 days? And here's what we're going to do together as a church, okay? The next 21 days, I want you to pray every day for at least three people that you know to come to church on Easter weekend. And we are going to believe that they commit or recommit their lives to Christ. Can I have a good amen to that? Come on. Will you do that? Will you do that? Will you invite those people to Easter services? Everybody say several times. Several times leading up to Easter weekend. If they will not come, invite someone else and don't give up. There are people in your world, in your sphere of influence, that God has preordained to be here on Easter weekend. This is a special season. That's why we're calling it 21 Days Pour Yourself Out. We're going to look next weekend at this whole idea of Jesus pouring himself out and some powerful principles that if you understand, it will change your life forever. This Easter season, will you pray? Will you invite people? Will you bring those people? Here we go. Will you bring those people if you can, or at least plan to meet them at the front door of the church? That really helps when you say, hey, I'll meet you there. Meet them at church over Easter weekend. Remember, we have extra services this Easter, so you can also help by advancing the kingdom by choosing to come to our Saturday night or Sunday night service. We are going to have tons of people here on Easter weekend. We have a lot of services. Pick your service. Maybe you want to come to one service with your family. Bring some people another service. I'm just asking. Watch this. Watch. This Easter, I'm asking you. I know you're going to have a big Easter dinner. I know some of you are going to do the Easter egg hunts with your kids and do the chocolate bunnies. But I'm asking you, can it be also about Jesus? Can we identify with how he poured himself out on the cross? Can we say, Lord, for these 3 weeks, I'm going to do some kingdom sweat. And there's a season here where we know people will come to church on Easter that usually will not even think about coming to church. I'm going to pour myself and pray and invite and do my best to bring people, or at least tell the people I'm inviting that I'll meet them here at church. Now, here's the fast. You know, at Celebration Church, there's always a fast involved. Okay, so there is a fast involved. Fast with us Wednesday, March 31st to Good Friday, April 2nd. During this fast, we will be praying for the people you are praying for and inviting And we'll be praying for a great harvest this Easter. This fast will end with communion at our Good Friday service on April 2nd at 7 p.m. It'll be a worship and communion service. So whatever fast you like doing, you want to do a Daniel fast, just fruits and vegetables, just liquids, whatever. If you drink coffee, keep drinking your coffee. Don't waste your fast on being grumpy and having caffeine withdrawals, okay? But this is important, man. It's going to leave up to Good Friday. Good Friday, that's when Jesus poured himself out. And then Sunday is the resurrection. Let's really identify with Christ this Easter season. But it doesn't end at Easter. Oh no, that's only 14 days. There's one more week. Follow up with the people you brought to church by making every effort to get them back to church the next weekend. It will be easy once you see what the series is that we're kicking off after Easter. It is going to be slamming. Celebrate with water baptism immediately following the Sunday 6 p.m. service at Midtown. Our other campuses, it'll be immediately following your last service, whenever that is. If you or any of the people you brought to Easter service needs to be baptized, this is a great time to do it. Many people will dedicate their lives to Jesus Easter weekend, so this water baptism is the very next Sunday is very important. So there's the follow-up. It's very important. People get saved on Easter. You influencing them to come back. That's where things really get solidified in water baptism as well. Come on, you can do it. You can pour out some kingdom sweat over these next 21 days. I'm not asking you for a works, grit your teeth kind of deal. You know what we're going to do right now? We're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit right now. And I believe, watch, And this is why we're going to have that fast, and we're going to have testimonies after this. Watch. I believe that the miracle that you are believing God for in your life, that supernatural thing will happen as you pour out kingdom sweat for God's kingdom. I want you to think about your family. I want you to think about your finances. And here's the deal. Guess what? I don't even want you to pray for it over these next 21 days. I want you to commit that to God and say, Lord, I'm going to pour out some sweat for your kingdom. And you watch after those 21 days, the things that you're personally believing for, God does for you because you've sought first the kingdom of God, and everything that you need will be added unto you. Can I have a good amen to that? Awesome.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.